Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially designed toy for him. And third, a little something for anyone. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get all 10 free gifts? Oh, it's not hard. You just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one toy. Take the plunge into a new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything else really that you desire. There are thousands of options and so many crotchless panties. I can't even. Just enter offer code SEXNERD at checkout. That's the important part, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Check it out. AdamandEve.com. Select an item. Get 10 free gifts, including that free shipping. All the stuff. When you enter offer code SEXNERD, that's SEXNERD at AdamandEve.com.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, naughty monkeys, it's Sandra Doherty, and this is Love Lab 2. Thank you to everyone who called in. It was really amazing how many people called and left messages, and I have so many feels about listening to your messages. It's really great. Thank you for that. So let's get into some juiciness. First, Hector from the Netherlands. Thanks for the waffles. That's all I got to say on that. I will let you know about a few things. I was accepted into the Bridgetown Comedy Fest in Portland. So check that out when tickets become available. If you're in that area, early May, that's when the festival is. Tickets should be available at some point soon. And if you're in Los Angeles, I am starting to MC body storytelling events starting in April. So that'll be fun. I'll probably announce those as those dates come up. What else? I just got back from Humboldt State and Ashland, Oregon. Thank you to Love Revolution and Humboldt State University for having me. If you know people who work in the health department at a local university or are in an LGBT group or something similar, please let them know I'm available to speak at schools. I'm really coming to love doing it. Something happened once I announced that I was struggling with the whole sex ed, sex nerd. Who am I? What is it that I'm trying to create and do in my life? There's something about being honest with that. I've really loosened up and relaxed, and I feel much more comfortable in myself. So I had an amazing time, and it's just gorgeous up in the Redwood area. And I don't know. I'm in a really good mood. It was great. And my dog is generally behaving. So life is good. I hope life is good for you. Remember, Steak and a Blowjob Day is coming up March 14th. You can create whatever it is you want on that day. I'm just saying, that's the name of it. I didn't make it up. Hey. Also, I think I've been teaching a lot of oral sex classes, so it's just a thing right now. Okay, let's get into it. Thanks again. If you want to call in, it is 310-928-3261. Leave a voicemail that's hopefully less than 2 minutes long. Ask me a question about your love life, your sex life, and we'll see if we can figure it out together. It's fun. It's fun pondering these things, these questions that you propose to me. These are important things, and I will talk about them more as they come up during this episode. So let's do it.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Hey, Sandra. Thanks so much. Love your show. Quick question for you. So I do not have orgasms from vaginal sex or from oral sex with partners. And when I first have a new partner, I let them know this up front so they don't feel like they're doing anything wrong or that I'm, you know, unsatisfied in any way. And sometimes partners use this and think they're off the hook and kind of don't need to worry about it. And other times, partners are still very mindful and try and, play in other ways. And I don't know how to communicate this message in a way that says, you're not doing anything wrong, but I still want to explore orgasm. So if you have any thoughts, they'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. Okay, so you don't orgasm during sex or oral, and depending on who you're sleeping with, they're like, aha, I am off the hook, or like, I'll still be involved in this and maybe help you out there. But it seems like something about the way you're telling them up front isn't working to get what you want across. So maybe what needs to happen is a reframing of your prep talk. I mean, it sounds fantastic. You're taking off the edge, the pressure for both of you. And that's wonderful. But it seems like maybe it's time to take a step forward and be more proactive. And really, you just did it. You just did the thing. You said, you're not doing anything wrong. I still want to explore this. I'm curious as to how specific you've been about what you want. Another thing I would say is set aside dedicated time to like sex labbing. Like really, there's something different about just taking your arousal, especially in a new relationship and a new lovership, and just going with it and diving in and have and getting turned on and playing and not making it about pressure. And so if you want to start experimenting, sometimes in the middle of all that arousal, it's difficult to do without losing the turn on. And so setting aside separate time where you can be like, let's have fun. Ooh, who knows what's going to happen versus like, oh, it's might be a different energy for some folks. So that's what my thought is. I think you're on the right track. And, I mean, we've talked about other things about how to try and find orgasm with your partner. And that wasn't your question. So I'm sure we've covered the things. But if anybody wants to know, call in and ask. Hey. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Sandra. Last week was my 27th birthday. And not only am I still a virgin, but I've never even had a kiss. Matter of fact, I think you're the only person I've hugged in the past year or so when you came to D.C. for a podcast. I would be interested to know what you have to say about issues such as this, because I know I'm not the only person. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for calling with that question. I have feelings. One, I do remember you. I definitely remember you because I remember you saying that you hadn't been hugged or that you were struggling with physical touch. And I think we talked about that. And I remember giving you a hug and that was the first time you'd had a hug in a long time. So folks who are still virgins or untouched or just haven't really gotten to start their love life yet in their late 20s, that's a unique issue to each person. And I can't speak generally like, hey, go hire someone, or like, hey, take a dance class, or hey, therapy. Like, I don't know what it is. I can talk about my experience with you. From what I can remember, you were really tense. You just tense in the shoulders and kind of rigid in the face, just sort of holding a lot of tension. And maybe you're nervous. Sometimes people are nervous after podcasts talking to me. I get it. But I think Cameron Esposito in the last episode I had her on, same-sex symbol, she talked about, you know, if it's not moving off the shelf, maybe there's something wrong with the product. Not the product itself, but how it's being marketed, how it's coming across to other people. There's nothing wrong with you innately, but there's something in the socializing, in the coming across to other people that might be holding you back. And I think that really professionals can help to give some feedback. I am a big proponent of therapy. I will say, though, is that finding the right therapist, I was really clear after I've had a lot of failed therapists in my life. This last one, I requested someone who was proactive, interactive, and it would give me feedback. So it wasn't just me answering a bunch of open-ended questions and not knowing what they thought. I get feedback and I get corrected and I get called out for when I'm being silly or irrational. And I appreciate that because I need a reality check every now and again. So I think having someone on your side that's neutral and well-trained is amazing for seeing yourself in a new light. And it might hurt a little bit. You might learn things about yourself that you didn't want to know, but like Hey, I was told I was abrasive by several people during an employment review. I had no idea. And yeah, it hurt. I had to really process that. But I became such a better person and treated other people more compassionately after that, instead of the jerk face that apparently I was. So that is my thought. I want you to have more hugs if you desire more hugs. So, you know, go team fun on that. Good luck.
Hi, Sandra. Thank you so much for opening up this line. I loved the first edition of Love Lab, and I'm calling with a question because I want you to keep doing it. I am a 26-year-old straight female, and I've been dating my partner for about a month and a half. Never before in all of my years of sexual activity has it ever been a problem for me to have sex with someone, but I really like my current partner a lot. And so I'm really struggling with crossing that boundary. We haven't had sex yet. We've done everything else. We've talked a lot about sex. And it's getting to the point that he is starting to feel like I'm not attracted to him because of this. So after listening to your other calls, I think that probably you'll pick up on some of this stuff. I have attachment issues. I'm avoidant, and I have an insecure attachment style. He knows about this. We talk about it. We're working through it. Do you have any advice for me on how I can become more comfortable with the idea of having sex with someone that I actually have feelings for? I think that's probably my biggest thing. I don't think I've ever had sex with anybody that I genuinely care about, and I'm just scared to cross that emotional boundary. Physical boundary, I'm totally fine with. But yeah, thank you so much, and I hope you have a good day. Bye-bye.
You are so scared. That's hilarious. Oh, you. Hey, thanks for supporting. I appreciate it that you knew that in order to have more Love Labs, you need to call. I love you for that. Thank you. Okay. You're having a problem where you just have this barrier where you don't want to have sex and you really like them. It's been a month and a half. There seems to be this conflation of love and sex, and that sex intercourse, it sounds like penetrative intercourse, is a boundary for you where you will get much more emotionally attached to this person. I think that you already have the understanding of yourself really well. You're afraid. And it sounds like you're running into the issue of your buddy here feeling like you're not attracted to them. And maybe that's the issue. So maybe we need to use our adult superpowers and communicate that. You've told them about attachment, but have you told them that there's just something really, it sounds like dangerous, like you're just avoidant and running away from something that seems really unsafe to you emotionally. And I don't know if you were left before or what, but this is an exciting time. This is a new boundary to cross that you care about someone that you can explore sex with for the first time. That's so neat. Now, I will warn you that when I hear someone say, oh yeah, I get it, I have insecure attachment, like attachment theory stuff, it's like, have you talked to a psychologist about that? Have you actually talked to a therapist about that? Is there any more? Because that is only one aspect of a person. Like that's only one thing. So if you're like me and reading a bunch of articles about attachment theory online and then analyzing yourself, don't. Do not do that. It's much more nuanced and complex than that. Go see somebody, okay? Don't do that. And don't give that as the excuse. It's not the whole reason. I would say it's time for you to really explore some, vulnerability and intimacy in your relationship. Because it's not just about being penetrated with another person's penis. Yes, there's definitely hormones and sexy fluids that enter the brain and make you drug crazy a little bit. But plenty of people can manage that attachment. We learned in the Friends with Benefits episode with Reid Mihalko. Like, there are ways to get around that. If you want to, listen to the end of that episode and we talk about those tools. But if you want this to be a relationship that you love and trust and you want to have sex, and if you want the whole thing, if you want the whole cake, make the whole bed, whatever, sometimes it's hard to just talk it into the ground, and you're using your front overthinking brain way too much on this, I think. Get to the heart of this emotion. Get past the attachment theory stuff. What is it? Do you think they're going to leave? Are they going to dislike you? Are you going to get hurt? Is this like what you fantasized about your whole life and now it's in front of you and it's just too much pressure? What is it? I am so curious for you and I care and I appreciate that you called. I hope that helps. I mean, it's really me posing more questions to you. It's so interesting and it sounds like you're in a great place and it's freaking you the fuck out and I am laughing at you really hard about it. With all the love. Okay. Good luck. All right. Bye. And now, some beeping with a surprise ending.
Hello? Hello?
I don't understand. What phone are you using that it beeps at the person that you're calling and then you say hello, hello? Like, were they listening the whole time it was beeping or were they using a calling card? I don't understand. Anyway, that was fun.
Hi. So I've been having a recent problem, or since it's recent, just come up again recently. I'm not exactly a person who dates a lot. I'll go on my current trend is about like once or twice a year, different people once or twice a year. Usually I've been finding that I get into this rut where I'll like a person, I'll be very into them. And then as soon as I go on a date with them, I don't want to be near them. They revile me whenever they like try to be close to me or kiss me. I want to go home. I don't want to do anything. I end up like, even people that I really like, I'll just not enjoy their company at all. I don't even want to, like, when we're on a date, I don't want to look at them. And it's really kind of weird. And then I'll usually just break up with them oftentimes, like try to keep a friendship. And that's another thing where as soon as I'm not trying to date them, they end up being perfectly fine to me. And then so I go and I break up with them and relationship's good, but then I just end up like feeling alone and craving affection and attention and things like that. But then when I'm actually in a situation where I'm getting that, I hate it. And it's not something that I'm looking for. So yes, I would greatly appreciate if you have any advice, whether it's people who I'm dating or because this has, happened like 5 or 6 times to me, that it was just something that I'm doing, or whether I need to like push past this, or I don't know, just whatever advice you have. Thank you very much. And I enjoy the show. Bye.
Oh, you think it might be the people you're dating. Oh, it's you. It's definitely you. Okay. No, I don't know that for sure, but yeah, if it's happening 5 or 6 times, it's probably you. I do agree. This is weird. It's weird. But it's important. Clearly there's something important about this. And how exciting that it's a time when you're reaching out and trying to figure this out. I would say don't listen to your friends at all. Like, don't listen to anyone and their theories. Because this is one of those fun problems a friend has. And then everyone wants to chime in and knows exactly what the solution is. I don't know. I'm not a doctor nor a therapist nor I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy. It kind of reminds me of dog training. Now stay with me. I know that, I hope that doesn't offend you. He runs up to dogs to play, loves to play, but the minute he gets in their face, gets close, he freaks the fuck out and all of a sudden he's on attack mode because he doesn't know what to do because he's so close to them. Now, I have found that there's a lot of dog training tricks that actually are helpful when dealing with humans. I'm not saying that this is helpful for you, but it seems interesting. Really though, I don't necessarily think from what you said that you're getting too close and scared. I think you are honestly revolted. Like, the minute you get close and you're on a date with them, you're like, ugh. Yet, the minute you feel lonely and you want attention and you want all those needs that are important, right? You want the affection. Suddenly, somebody doesn't look so bad. So it seems like you don't actually like any of these people. You just want someone to fill a need for you. So maybe it is the people that you're dating. Maybe you just haven't found someone that you really want to be around. Or is it maybe just sex? Like, you are revolted by the idea of being physical with them? Or are you revolted with them even looking at you and being like, you're cool and dreamy? Like, what is it that's grossing you out about them? Or is it their entire person? Like, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, right? Like bad sushi. Are they like bad sushi all of a sudden? Like, just in their entirety, like a text from them and you're like nauseated? What is it? Fascinating. If you figure anything out, call back. I'm really curious. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Sandra. My name is Milad. I'm actually legally blind, and I just wanted to just let you know, like, how different it is to meet people and talk to them when you can't even see what they look like. You get zero nonverbal feedback. So you could make a joke and you don't even know how their facial expressions are, even though they're laughing. Now, I've dated sighted people. I've only been blind for about 7 years. But I thought maybe that might be some direction you could take the podcast in, or if there are dating groups for blind and visually impaired people who don't necessarily have to date other blind and visually impaired individuals. All right. Well, thanks. Sorry about the long rant. I love your podcast. It's awesome. And hopefully I get to hear this on there as well. Bye.
Hey, Milad, thank you for calling. This is a really important issue that I hadn't even thought about. I'm actually working on a sex and disability series for the podcast. There's so many different topics that I'd like to cover. I will keep this in mind for sure. Thank you for letting me know about it. A few things. I mean, for the visually impaired, I don't know what to do. One, support groups. If there are dating support groups for people who are visually impaired, why not go to them if they're in your area? I would think that local centers, you'd be able to find that out. I might be completely naive about this, but I wouldn't know. I don't even know where you are. I don't know. I can't look it up. I have no idea. I know it's been 7 years, but do you have people who are also visually impaired in your life that you can talk to about these issues? Have you talked to sighted friends and asked them about what their thoughts are? Now, of course, for, you know, some issues, I think it's poor taste to ask friends, because often you get really just bad advice, just unwise attitudes. But for something like this, just kind of taking a poll just to see, because one thing that comes to mind is it's easy to get people into the habit of things. Like, for instance, I am now in the habit of narrating physical action on this podcast, because I know that you can't see it. So I try and say, like, oh, they're pointing at my face, or they're making a scrunchy face, or whatever, in order for there to be more context for the conversation. I feel like with just a little playful practice, you can get someone that you're dating into the habit of narrating, you know, oh, I'm scrunching my eyebrows, or like, you're making me do the sour lemon face, or like, whatever. I see that as a definite frustrating hurdle for the first part, but it could even be a little bit of an interesting bonding game. I don't know. It seems fun, but maybe it's because I'm a little theatrical. And then I wonder, and this is something for me to ask somebody who knows more than me, for sure, that boundary of touching someone's face so you can feel the motion in their face when they're expressing themselves and reacting. I'm just wondering what it would be like if you could rest your hand on their cheek just to feel that movement. Maybe that's really awkward and I don't know better. Maybe that is a touch conversation. Is it all right if I do that? Is it weird? How does that make you feel? You have really soft skin. Maybe it's also like a cool flirting move where it's like, I am speeding along intimacy because we're touching. I don't know. I'm spitballing right now and I don't want to dig myself into a hole and be a jerk face, but this seems like a really important issue that I definitely will keep in mind for future episodes where I'm talking to someone who knows a lot more about this than I do. Hey, thanks for calling.
Hi, Sandra. My name is Sarah, and I've been listening to your podcast for about a year now, and I'm super excited that you are taking these calls now, so please keep doing it. I have a question for you that may or may not be a love question, but it is about porn. And I have a weird relationship, past relationship with porn because I had a really religious background. But nevertheless, at this point, my girlfriend and I, or fiance now, are occasionally will share that experience together. And I think it's awesome and it's healthy. And I'm really happy that that's something that we can do without any guilt or shame or jealousy or whatever. So I've heard you talk about the subject on the show. You've had various professionals in the industry talking about different subjects. And recently you talked to Kelly Shibari, and then I found her on Twitter. And one of the things that she mentioned in a very negative light was Pornhub, which is one of the sites that you've used before. And it really worried me because I know that there is good porn and I know that there is bad porn. And I don't want to be involved in something that is unethical or that is not treating the stars well or is just in doing anything that's in any way lawless. But I'm not well-versed enough in the industry to know where those good places are. And I feel a little bit like I'm kind of talking about coffee or chicken right now when I talk about ethically sourced, so whatever. So I am looking for some free-range, ethically sourced porn so I can feel good about what is happening behind the scenes. So hopefully you will give me an answer. Love to hear it. I would love to hear it on the show. Thanks.
Pay for your porn. I think that's the main issue, is that so many people are watching porn and not paying for it that people are going out of business. Pay for your porn. Find people who are making porn that turns you on, that excites you, and put money in their pockets. Appreciate them. Honor them. I've barely paid for porn, but I also don't barely ever watch porn. So I feel kind of like, eh. But yeah, I would feel really crappy if I liked someone's work and I watched it all the time and I didn't give them any money for it. Truly, I just went to a porn conference and the big topic was, how do we even make money anymore? And the truth is that they're not. Yeah, they are not making money. So support them. Beyond that, I don't remember really what Kelly Shibari said. I mean, she's on Twitter. She's so available to you. Please reach out to her if she has specific feelings. But a lot of these free search sites, yeah, it's free. No one's making any money except for the people hosting the free stuff with advertising. And I love that you want to have free range, fair trade, cage free porn. That's really hot. That is really hot. So sure, use Pornhub, use all the free places to find performers that you like, then go to their own pages, right? Their own websites, and give them some money and then watch their stuff and get even more turned on because you get to see the good stuff that they're not allowing others to rip off. Truly, that's the way you do it. Good on you for caring and good on you for exploring porn with your partner. That's really hot and congratulations on your engagement. All right. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Sandra, calling from Atlanta. Thought you might want to know that. Of course, maybe you can see it. Anyway, been listening to the show for about a year now. Just absolutely love it. Been having a great time with it. Here is my situation and my question. My wife and I have been married now for 17 years and have had a great sex life. She seems to really be into anal play. And you had mentioned at one point anal G-spotting. We have messed around with normal vaginal G-spotting, and it's kind of eh for her. I mean, she gets it, and it's nice and everything, but it's not really her thing. But she seems to really enjoy some anal play. So you had mentioned that. I didn't quite get it, and I thought maybe you could explain that a little bit better and give us some techniques on how to try it and find it and mess around with it and see what we can do. Thanks again. Love your show. Keep it up. Bye.
Thank you. I will keep it up. And also fantastic, fantastic accent. I am enjoying that. Okay, so anal G-spotting. Look, I remember doing some research on anal G-spotting a while ago and I didn't find much. So what I'm going to tell you is based on just my personal embodied experience. That's my butthole, my toys, me, and maybe partners. For me, what happens? No, of course, G-spot in 2 or 3 inches toward the belly button. Generally, let's say it's a whole zone area that people may feel pleasure in. And I joke sometimes that I'm dead inside, which is not really true, but I don't have as much internal amazingness of experiences other people report, which I am comfortable with. But if I go in anally toward the belly button, past the sphincter muscle, so where it really opens up, where those muscles are no longer squeezing, toward the belly button, it's a little bit shorter, maybe 2 inches, 1.5 inches, and press upward, I have this very G-spot-like sensation that happens to my body. I really relax. I kind of go, oh, like there's something that just opens. And I don't know, maybe it's not my G-spot. Maybe it's the perineal sponge, which is right there in the wall between the rectum and the vagina. Maybe there's something in there that just feels really good. I don't know what it is. I also start dripping from the urethra. Like I actually have like female ejaculation, just secrete. It's not any squirting or anything, but it's just, you know, it comes out. And so there just does seem to be this anal G-spotting thing that happens. And I don't really have the anatomical answers as to why that happens. It just feels cool. For me, the toy that I've experienced, and I've only used one toy to experiment with this beside fingers, is the Enjoy Pure Wand. It's over $100. We talk about it on the show a lot because a lot of people love it. It's stainless steel. And I've tried to use the, because it's so curved, it's like an old school telephone. I've used the small end in toward the belly button. And it's nice because it's ergonomically easy to put it in and curve toward the belly button. And my hands don't have to be in an awkward position. So I've done it that way. And that was neat because I was like, look, I don't have to be in my butt and I'm still doing it. I mean, the toy's in my butt, but I don't have to be in my butt. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. Mainly just go past the sphincters. That would be important. And with any exploration, being more aroused, maybe even having had an orgasm, if possible, will probably help with that exploration. And good on you for calling, and way to have an awesome sex life. Rock on.
Hi. This is weird. Well, not weird, but you know how it is. The second the beep goes on, you completely lose your train of thought. Okay, let's try that again. Hello. Love your podcast. Love your show. It's very hilarious, and I've learned a lot. I'm 21. And I'm a virgin by choice. I've actually had relationships crumble because I wasn't ready to sleep with the person, but that's okay. And yeah, I wasn't ready, and now I am. And I am, yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, having sex be part of my relationship and the next relationship that I have, and it's really nice. And I've actually spoken with a few people that I know, obviously, about this stuff, and people have all these different opinions about a person's first time. You know, some people say, oh, you have to be in love, and some people are like, nah, you know, you just need to be, you know, respectful and consenting, you know, and that's really the only criteria for one's first time, and most people are somewhere in between. And since you're such an interesting person and so sex nerdy, I was wondering if you had any anecdotes or opinions about one's first time. And yeah, love your show. All right, thank you. Bye.
That's my favorite way that anyone has started their call, is getting freaked out about the beep and then having to start over. I do that all the time when I start recording the podcast. So don't worry about it. I love it. Yeah, first time opinions. Everyone's got one, just like buttholes. Okay. I think, since this is really an opinion-based question, and as I've mentioned, everyone's friend is going to have a different thought on it. Everyone thinks that they're probably an expert about the idea. I just wonder what's important to you. You're asking other people, and each person's a snowflake, so what about your snowflake? What's important to you? Is it important to be in love? Do you feel like you need to have a connection with a person to have sex? Do you just want to get it out of the way? What is it? Do you just need to feel physically and mentally safe? And also, I'm curious about why you're ready all of a sudden at 21. I look at the first time you have sex as the start of your story. I remember when I first had sex, I had a lot of feelings about it. And for months after, I regretted it. I was happy about it. I thought about it. I mean, I was having even more sex. And so I was processing the beginning of my sexuality. At the time, it seemed like, oh, the beginning sets the stage for everything. And for some people, they hold on to it, sure, but really, you're going to make more memories. This is just the start of your story. I barely remember it anymore because so much has happened since. Now, don't jump to conclusions like I've been totally wild. I'm just saying that, you know, it's been 15 years. It's not that meaningful to me anymore. It's lovely and it's nostalgic. And I've created so many memories since of all sorts. I've lived a lot of life since then. And the first time you have sex is not everything it's cracked up to be. Just be safe and listen to yourself and what you need to feel good about what you're doing in this time in your life. Thank you for calling and congratulations on being 21 and being ready.
Hello? 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 Hello?
So, as I mentioned last Love Lab, several people would call and then delete their voicemails, which was heartbreaking. But then, this time, something neat happened where I got a few where people seemed to be confused as to how voicemail works. I don't know. It's just funny when I don't know what's going to happen. And for me, there was a lot of suspense going into this.
I want to know if anybody, am I going to be alone?
Oh my goodness. I thought a lot about this question. So when I first listened to your voicemail, I truly thought that it was a crank call because the first part, the I want to know, was so shaky. And having worked at adult stores, I know that people can get shaky in their voice when they're about to say something really cheeky or silly. And then you let loose with something really beautiful. One of the most vulnerable questions a person can ask. So many people worry if they're going to be alone, if they're going to go through life without a partner, if they're going to die alone. If I could take your question many ways, and I don't have any details. Just by asking the question, just by being heard on this podcast, you're not alone. You're connecting. Other people hear you. There's compassion. I couldn't help but feel for you. So you have the ability to connect. So I'm not worried about that. I had a friend recently. We reconnected. We hadn't been talking for a long time. And I texted them for Valentine's Day. And I just texted, hey, I really care about you. I know it's belated, but happy Valentine's Day. I'm glad you're in my life. And he texted back like, wow, that's really, really special. Thank you. Thank you for that. And the next time we saw each other, and he's really sarcastic and funny. So vulnerability really does, it weighs a lot for somebody who's always joking about things. And so the next time we hung out, he said, like, that was really helpful at a time where I felt really alone. And for me, I said, yeah, Valentine's Day has really turned into a time where I just really want to celebrate the people who are in my life. And I saw him melt, like really melt. And I think there was just so much pressure around what Valentine's Day means and the fact that he tends to be single and the frustration around that and but connection is all around us. We don't have to feel alone. I feel for you. Such a short question, yet so deep. And maybe it was a crank call and I'm overthinking it, but maybe that says more about me than anyone else. Okay, thanks for calling.
Hi, Sandra. I am so excited that you've opened up a phone line for questions because I've been dying to ask you this. I'm a 24-year-old female living in the Northeast, and I have recently been really interested in going to a sex club or a sex party or some sort of group sex environment. I have a boyfriend of 5 years who is a little hesitant but seems interested, but I think he just is a little bit more scared of any surprises or shocks or being too exposed, or I don't know. He's a little more hesitant than I am. So I guess I'm just looking for some insight on what to expect at a sex party or a sex club, and also how to go about finding the right place for us, and you know, what to expect, any rules of, you know, etiquette or advice that you might have that I could pass along to my boyfriend to make him a little more confident to go to this type of event. I really enjoy your show. It's helped me tremendously over the past couple of years, you know, just exploring my sexuality and becoming a more, you know, sex-positive person. And I just really want to thank you for that. So any advice you have would be great. And keep doing those podcasts. They are amazing. Thanks.
Hey, thank you. I will keep doing this podcast. I have no plans on stopping. I love it, and I appreciate this question. Okay, I'm with your boyfriend on this. Sex parties are terrifying. What's going to happen? I felt like the minute I walked into a sex party, someone would put something in my butt. Like immediately penetration would happen, and I had no control over it. I was in a place where people were just animals and just all over each other, and reason is thrown to the wind, and everyone is just confusing. It's very Alice in Wonderland. Look, people are still people when they get into sex spaces. They still have manners. They still have fears. They still want to chit chat over the drink table. They're still going to talk about sports and politics. Sex parties are just parties where sex is allowed. Now, I'm making a generalization, because depending on the culture, who knows? You might be agreeing to go to a party where everyone knows that the minute you go in the door, you're blindfolded and dragged into a bedroom and ravished. I don't know those parties, but who knows? Maybe that exists. I don't know. Good on you for being a leader and being bold and wanting to go explore that. That's really exciting. But I really do get completely your boyfriend's hesitance. Faux show. The main thing is talk to the leader, the organizer of the party, and just ask them, what are the cultural norms? What are the rules? You know, what tends to happen? How do people tend to hook up with each other? Is there conversation? Is there a color-coded system? Is there a button? I went to a party once where you wore a button, and if it was red, it meant you were down to play, and if it was white, it meant that you just wanted to watch. And I think the first party you go to, or dungeon, or whatever play space you will find yourself in, make a rule. Don't do anything. Just chat with people, or even don't. Just walk around like the couple that's in the corner giggling and nibbling on each other, which is adorable. I love seeing the couple that is shy but excited about the new environment they're in. One of my faves at any party. In terms of finding a sexy party to go to, I don't have a lot of resources. So much of it is now community run, meetup groups. Check out if there are any in your area. FetLife has a lot of events. Those might be more BDSM oriented, but considering how much structure there is, that might be a great first thing to do, just so you can get a sense of what it's like to be in a room with other people doing things. Also, Lifestyle Lounge. Now, Lifestyle Lounge is what I've been told is like the main Facebook hub, basically, for swingers. And swingers, mainly people who get together, maybe create friendships, hang out, have sex, have a good time. Swingers are really fun, and their parties are fun. That might also be a place that you can go find a party. Don't do what I did, which is the first party I went to is I went online and I just searched it, and then went to a shady website, and then went to a mixer just out of the blue. It was about an hour away from where I lived, and it was not legit. And I was approached in really unethical ways, and it was fine. It was okay. I got out of there. My partner and I didn't stay too long. But I would say go to a party that seems like a lot of cool people are going to. And you can usually see it on those sites when people RSVP. Okay, thank you everyone for calling in. It feels really good to talk to you and wonder the big questions and I feel challenged by your questions, and I really have to search myself. So again, if you want more Love Labs, please call in. 310-928-3261. If all else fails, look up Sex Nerd Sandra on Yelp. That's where the phone number can be found no matter what's happening on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere else. Thanks a lot. Go Team Fun. Talk to you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.